Good morning. I was excited to hear about the picnic. We found out about it last night, and we were able to bring appropriate clothes. Thanks. The thing that I'm the most excited about with Fairhaven Picnics is it's one of the few times in the year that the English and Spanish ministries get together, and I remember with great fondness working with Arnie Espinosa back in the 90s to see that ministry started. And we lived in Oakland in a Spanish-speaking neighborhood to help with our Spanish. And as we got going, I realized that the theme of boxing is really important to a lot of people from Central America. And the way that I realized that was one night we went to pick up a lady from in our neighborhood for an outreach, and she came out, and we asked if her husband was coming, and she said, no, he's staying and watching the fight. And we kind of chuckled, like anyone would give up a Spanish outreach activity party for a boxing match, you know? And after we chuckled, she said, I almost stayed. And then I realized, okay, this is kind of a big thing. And when we went to Central Asia, it's a big thing there. Boxing is a big thing. And kind of our worlds collided when a famous boxer from Mexico named Canela was facing off with a famous boxer from Kazakhstan whose name was Triple G. His name was actually a really long name with three G's in it, and so they just call him Triple G. And we actually watched one of those matches with Melissa here, another boxing fan. So I learned, I don't know much about boxing, but I did learn it's not all about the knockouts. You know, the knockouts are kind of rare things, and there's a lot of strategy, and there's a lot of endurance involved with 12 rounds of this ongoing contest. And it's about, you know, inflicting pain in the ribs when you can and in different places to kind of break someone down to have that victory at the end. And Paul talked about boxing. You know, he said, I box as one who doesn't beat at the air. You know, that means I want my punches to land. I want them to land. And so he gives us a strategy for his passion, which was the gospel. Three P steps to get the gospel to land. And that's what we're going to talk about in Colossians today, if you want to turn with me to Colossians chapter 4. And we'll read the first six verses there. Sorry, we'll read verses 2 through 6. Colossians 4, 2 through 6. Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. Praying at the same time for us as well, that God will open up to us a door for the word so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I also have been imprisoned, that I may make it clear in the way I ought to speak. Conduct yourselves with wisdom toward outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. Let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person. May God bless his reading of the word. So the book of Colossians is Paul writing with great love about his great passion to a group of people that he's never even met. He had a person on his team named Epaphras who apparently had shared the gospel with this group of believers in Colossae in Asia. And he was concerned for them. He was rejoicing in the fact that they had heard the gospel. And he wanted to write this letter to encourage them and to warn them about some of the pressures that he knew they were facing. And in his encouragement, he starts out with this beautiful prayer in chapter 1, verses 15 through, I think, 18 and through 20, about the supremacy of Christ, that Christ is the image of the invisible God. Through him, All things have been made. He is the end all and be all of our existence. And because he is our creator and he is the one with whom we should have to do, they don't have to worry about these philosophies in chapter 2 that are crowding them in. Some of those were Roman pagan philosophies of polytheism and worship of different gods. Some of the pressures that they were facing were legalism from Jewish rabbis and Pharisees who are saying, yeah, Jesus is good, but you have to keep the law. And Paul was saying, no, Jesus is better than all that. He fulfilled all that. So in chapter 3, he talks about what we should be doing, which is putting our minds on the things above where Jesus is seated at the right hand of God. And that's where our life is hidden. He is where our life is hidden. And he is coming back. And when he is coming back, he's going to be revealed in glory. And we also will be revealed with him. So that mindset should transform our lives as we put him on, as we take off the old self, the flesh with its passions and its greed and its desires, and we put on Christ. We put on his love. We put on his forgiveness. We put on his peace. And when we do that, the end of chapter 3, Paul talks about how our households are transformed. When we put on Christ, our households are transformed. Relationships between husband and wives are transformed. Relationships between parents and children are transformed. Relationships between slaves and masters are transformed. And that takes us to the beginning of chapter 4. Masters, grant your slaves justice and fairness. And then we get into our passage today. So the first P that Paul wants us to start with is prayer. So there's the three P's, actually. Prayer for the gospel, prayer for proclaimers of the gospel, and people of the gospel, the Colossians themselves. So prayer for the gospel, proclaimers, people like Paul and his team of workers, and the people. What should we be? What kind of people should we be as we pray to see the gospel go out? So three attitudes of prayer: devotedness, alertness, and thanksgiving. I'm sure you've heard hundreds of messages about prayer. And we all would say, yeah, prayer is really important. But how many of us would say we're devoted to prayer? It's like one of our top priorities. The biggest help I think I got with my prayer life was from a class given by Bill McDonald back in the intern program here in 1989-90. And Bill gave us a week of classes on prayer. And at the end of the week, he says, your homework is to give me three prayer requests. We've talked about God's desire for us to pray. We've talked about how able he is to answer our prayer. He's omnipotent. And so, given those two factors, what do you want to pray for? Give me three requests. So I thought, okay, this is kind of like the genie with the bottle, you know? Anything you want, you can take to God. And one of my requests was that I would be a better prayer and that I would grow in my walk with God in prayer specifically. And Bill wrote on my little homework sheet, probably what he wrote on everyone's, he said, noble requests, according to your faith, be it unto you. And so I realized, oh, I should start praying now. I've got my requests. I should start praying that God would help my prayer life. And so I prayed that every day for about a year. And God gave me a way to evaluate my prayer life and see how I could grow in it every year. And because I made that a priority, a point of devotedness, God has helped me, these 30 years later, to grow almost every year in prayer. So making it a priority, being devoted. I am really encouraged at Fairhaven. We came off the mission field about 7 years ago, and the elders wanted me to focus on evangelism. which is kind of why I usually do these messages about the gospel. And as I looked around and read about, you know, what makes a great evangelistic movement, I saw that prayer is really at the foundation. It's really at the core. If we're not praying, there's little, I think, that God's going to do through us in this area. And around that time, a really interesting thing happened about 4 or 5 years ago, and that was that there was a day of prayer and fasting at Community Bible Chapel, and all of the assemblies were invited, and it was one of the few times that I had trouble finding a parking place in an assembly in a chapel parking lot. And it was well attended, and it was a great day, and out of it spawned a number of groups of prayer. One is still going on at Matt Clark's house. Matt Clark goes to Calvary, and Tuesday night, he has a study, a prayer group for guys that we started going to. I know there's a women's group here that meets at Fairhaven that prays especially for people that have grown up in prayer at Fairhaven who are not walking with the Lord. The mission prayer meeting is still going. And a number of groups have grown, so we are praying more, and I am very encouraged. But I just want to encourage you to don't just go to a group prayer meeting, start in your prayer closet. How much time do you spend with the Lord praying? And maybe you want to track that and see if you want that number to grow and think about how I can make that number grow. Something that helps me to make that number grow, the amount of time I spend praying, is just to walk and pray, because I'm a lot more able to, point B, stay alert. That's our second point, be alert in prayer. So how do you stay alert in prayer? Well, I just gave you one example. You can walk and pray. What if you're at a prayer meeting? It's not really appropriate to walk out and pray because you're praying with other people. You might want to keep your eyes open if you're falling asleep, all right? I know a lot of us at Awana, we used to have prayer meetings, and it's at the end of the day, and you're tired, and keep your eyes open. It's okay to pray with your eyes open. Stay alert. Another thing I like to do when I'm at a prayer meeting or praying by myself is it's not just a time of talking to God, it's a time of listening. So as I listen to God, he often reminds me of things that I should be doing, and so I pull my day timer out and I write those things down for obedience, because God wants obedient disciples. So this makes it an interactive time, not just a time where I'm talking to God, but he's talking to me, I'm talking to him, someone else is talking to him, he's talking to me, and I'm writing it down. So some tips about being alert. Also, if you're praying at a prayer meeting out loud, avoid monologues, all right? Avoid long monologues, and that'll help other people stay alert, right? Because if the same person is going on and on and on, I'm losing focus, and my thoughts are going elsewhere. So keep it short, keep it brief, and be alert. Thanksgiving is such a huge, huge part of prayer. And prayer should always have thanksgiving and adoration. It should begin with those things, with us telling God who he is. Because prayer is not for God, it's really for us to grow in our walk with God. God knows everything that we need, but he wants us to be engaged with him. And so he wants us to bring our requests to him. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. It's a partnership, and as we do that, he's pulling our eyes up to him, and then we're obeying Colossians 3:1, which says, if you've been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where he is, right? The opposite of thanksgiving is complaining, and we see Satan uses complaining, and God uses thanksgiving. Satan uses complaining to get our eyes off of God and on to self, and to look at the problems. God uses thanksgiving to get our eyes on to him, and to to focus on what he's doing, on the positive things instead of what's wrong. And it keeps us in truth. It keeps us in truth. The book of Numbers is about how Satan uses complaining in the lives of the Israelites. They complained about everything that God gave them. There were gifts for which they should have been thankful for, like manna from heaven, bread from heaven. How often does that happen? And they complained. It was monotonous. They complained about the leader that God had given them, Moses. And they were struck with snakes and leprosy and plagues. And they got a 40-year time out in the wilderness because of their complaining. And they did not get to enter the land. We are not going to enter the land complaining, brothers and sisters. We need to be thankful. So that's the first P, is prayer. Make it a priority. Stay alert in it. Change up your routine. Gene Gibson used to say, routine is the enemy of prayer, right? You just do the same thing over and over, and it becomes a chore instead of a relationship. And give thanks. So Paul says, as you're praying, I want you to pray for us, the proclaimers of the gospel. Praying at the same time for us as well, that God will open up to us a door for the word so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I also have been imprisoned, that I may make it clear in the way I ought to speak. I have some maybe earth-shattering news for some of you. Not everyone is an evangelist. And you're not called to share the gospel with every person you meet, even if you are an evangelist. So you can just let that go. If you had that expectation, if you feel guilty every week that you're not sharing the gospel, let it go and pray for people that are equipped to share the gospel here at Fairhaven. We're all called to be witnesses, but we're not all called to be evangelists. But some are evangelists, and you could pray for them. You could pray for us at Freedom in Watsonville. We feel called to take the gospel there. There are opportunities that we're going to talk about to take the gospel here. And even if you're not an evangelist, doesn't mean you can't share the gospel. But pray for people that can and do share the gospel, that there will be an open door for the word. And maybe there's an open door in your life for the word that you need to walk through and share with someone. Maybe that is something that God's put on your heart. Maybe there's an opportunity. I love San Leandro. You know, we moved into a quiet neighborhood in Watsonville, and there were nights that we couldn't sleep because the white noise of 580 and MacArthur Boulevard, like, where is it, you know? So pray for the proclaimers of the gospel. What are some open doors here at Fairhaven? Well, there's Awana. We just talked about an Awana announcement, right? There's outreaches. There's picnics that you can invite your neighbors or your friends to. I always think that when one believer is in a life of someone who's not a believer, that's light, right? But when several believers are in their lives, that's light bouncing off of each other. That's like mirrors, right? And that's where Christ can even work more powerfully. I was so excited. One of the ways that I engage in my community is I play pickleball. And I was so excited to see four people from our church join me in pickleball, not because they need to become pickleball players or I need more teammates in pickleball, but because we have believers who are engaged with the people that I'm praying for, and they're praying, and our light is reflecting off of one another as we engage. And we are praying that that will lead to opportunities for the gospel. We have just this month in Watsonville an opportunity with a family shelter that I had found out about months ago, and I just introduced myself. They were very warm. You know, told them I was with this church, and said, if you ever need a volunteer, you know, let us know for anything. And they called us just a couple of weeks ago. They had a need for grill people for the night out, the police night out. And I wasn't able to be there, but I got some people from our church in there, and now we have an inn with the family shelter. So pray for open doors for the gospel. An open door for the word. So here we have, pray for the people who preach the word, proclaimers, for an open door. So that's an open door. I don't know if that shows up well. And then if there's an open door for the word with somebody at your workplace or somebody at your neighborhood, you need to walk through that door with the gospel. And Paul says he walks through that door that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ. The mystery is something that was up to that point an unrevealed secret, but it had been revealed to Paul. The mystery that the gospel of Christ, the plan of salvation of God, is open to the Gentiles. It's open to all the nations, not just the Jews. And we should share it. We should gospel it. And you need to walk through that door. Paul says, I'm in prison for walking through that door. So you know that I've walked through that door. I'm in prison for it. I'm suffering for it. There's a great missionary named Helen Rosevere. She was a missionary from England to the Congo. And she had a great line. She said, God's problem isn't closed doors. It's open doors and no one to walk through them. So we want to be people that walk through and speak forth the mystery of Christ when that opportunity is presented to us. That I may make it clear in the way I ought to speak. Do you know how many people out there do not know what the word sin means? They've never heard that word. So you have to explain things. You have to explain things. And I know Grant Ferrer was here a couple of months ago, and he taught you how to do the three circles, right? Raise your hand if you heard that. Okay. I know a lot of you did and are practicing because I'm seeing it at the Foothill Building in Spanish on the whiteboard, and I'm seeing it in here on the whiteboard. So that's great. You're learning how to share the gospel in a language that makes sense to people, mainly that we live in a broken world, and it hasn't always been broken. It used to be a world full of love that was perfect, but we broke it by rebelling against God, and the Bible calls that sin, right? Define it. Before you just say, well, you know, we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Making it clear in the way I ought to speak. Speaking clearly. So pray for an open door. And when you see an open door, walk through it. Share the gospel. Figure out how to do those three circles. It's like a 2 to 3 minute gospel presentation. Very easy. And then pray that you would speak clearly. And pray for the proclaimers here at Fairhaven, that they would speak clearly. Pray for us at Freedom, that we would speak clearly the message of Christ. Okay, we just missed that. So here's the three circles. The three circles, like I said, it's just a 2 to 3 minute gospel presentation. But how do you share the gospel? How do you get there with someone? That's always, I think, the hardest thing, the transition. And so we have this little program called Prayer, Share, Care. And I even have people for you to do this with that I'll tell you about in a little bit. But you can go door to door, and it's amazing after COVID how many doors open, right? People have been isolated for 2 years, and they are more willing to talk to strangers at their door than any time in my lifetime. And we did Bread for the Bay just around here. One day, we needed to get some more families. And so a friend from Watsonville and I, we came, and we knocked on just like three blocks here. And we had 8 people sign up. 8 people. 5 years ago, you could knock, and it would be miraculous if 8 people even opened their door, right, in this neighborhood. But 8 people not only know it, like most of the people opened the door, and then 8 people signed up. So it's amazing how effective door-to-door is right now. So you can knock on the door. Hi, I'm David Reed. This is my friend Ethan. We're with Fairhaven Bible Chapel. And we're just going around and asking if there are things we can pray about for people. Do you have anything you want to pray about? No, thanks. Goodbye. Okay, that's going to stop there. That's fine. All right? But if they say, my wife's father-in-law just died. We just had this happen a few months ago. Could you pray for her? Yeah, we would love to pray. And so then we just pray right there, right? So that just takes like less than 3 minutes right there. So now you're with someone who's spiritually interested. If they ask for prayer, or at least they're like positive towards you. So then we ask the next question, and this is the share part of this. We say, you know, we're also asking people if we can just share a small three-minute illustration about how God draws near to it. Can I share that with you? Yeah, sure. Or, no thanks, I'm good. No thanks, I'm good means, okay, that's the end. That's the door's closed. But if they say, sure, then you can share this three-circle illustration. And the first circle is that we live in a broken world. Second circle is that God made a perfect world, but we broke it through sin. And then the third circle is what Christ did. He came into this world. He came into this broken world as the Son of God without any sin. And he carried our sin on himself on the cross when he died there. And he didn't stay in the grave. That's the amazing thing about Jesus, is he rose again on the third day. And so that's the gospel. And all you need to do is turn from your sin to him and believe that message, to have a restored world. So that's the share part. And then the care part is just some follow-up questions. You want to tell me which world you're in the picture? Are you in the broken world? Are you in the restored world? And now you have, if they keep going, an open door. And maybe we can talk. You want to talk about this tomorrow? Here's my number, okay? And then you leave them with the card, and it's a personalized gospel tract with your phone number on it, right? It's a picture of the gospel. Picture's worth 1,000 words. It's going to sit there on their table. And somebody else is going to look at it maybe and say, what's this? Oh, some guy talked about broken world. Well, what? People are talking about the gospel. So who could we do this with? I'm so glad you asked. We have 45 families that I just shared about at the breaking of bread that we deliver groceries to every week. They're in this neighborhood, they're over on 150th, and some are in Oakland. And I will bet you a box of donuts that if you go to those doors specifically, and we have their addresses and we have their phone numbers, and knock on them and say, hey, I'm Dave with Bread for the Bay, the group that's been sending you groceries every week from Fairhaven Bible Chapel. We're just wondering if we can pray for you today. I'm willing to bet you a box of donuts that at least half of those people will say yes. And that, brothers and sisters, is an open door. That is an open door. I just need someone to go with me and do this. So 5 o'clock on a weekday would be a good time. That's usually when we send the food out. Not on a Thursday because we're busy delivering food. But call me if you are interested in that, and I will come out here and do that, because there's 45 families that we've been loving on and praying for already. The prayer foundation is already established. The relationship is already established. We just need someone to walk through that door. So if you want to do that, you give me a call, and I will knock on those doors with you. And if I owe you a box of donuts at the end of the day, that's great. That will be totally worth seeing those doors knocked on. So there's an opportunity. So now we get to the people of the gospel, the Colossians themselves. What should they be doing? And Paul says in verse 6, conduct yourself in a manner, sorry, verse 5, conduct yourselves with wisdom toward outsiders. conduct yourselves with wisdom toward outsiders. And your Bible may have the word walk instead of conduct. And I would argue that that's a better translation, because Paul has been talking in each chapter about walking, right? In the first chapter, his prayer for the Colossians in 1:10 is that they would walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects. In chapter 2, he talks about, therefore, just as you have received Christ Jesus as Lord, so walk in him, right? Firmly rooted, growing in the knowledge of him, bearing fruit in every good work. So that's the command to walk. There's a prayer to walk in chapter 1, the command to walk in chapter 2. In chapter 3, warning about the ways in which they used to walk. They used to walk in their passions, in their greed and immorality. And then chapter 4, walk yourselves with wisdom, basically is what it says. You walk now in a wise way with outsiders. You walk with wisdom. And he's going to talk about speech, but I think it's very important that he talks about your walk before he talks about your talk. Because if your walk isn't right, your talk isn't going to mean anything, and worse, it could be damaging to the cause of the gospel. So focus on your walk. Focus on where your mind is as you go throughout the day. Is it on things above with Christ? Are you walking with him? Because then he'll give you wisdom as you interact with others. And then they're going to ask you, and we'll talk about another verse, but there's a couple of gospel writers, Paul and Peter, they both assume that when you walk the right way, people are going to ask about the way that you walk. They're going to ask, you know, I really see something different in you. I was playing pickleball with someone, and they said, you know, Dave, I really appreciate your positive energy in playing pickleball. And I think what they meant by that is, you're kind, you love people, and you're not all negative like some pickleball players are. And that was an opportunity for me to say, you know, Karen, I just leave my day with Jesus every morning, and he takes care of me. You know, I don't have a reason to be negative. I didn't say that, but I will the next time. Because I prayed, like, Lord, give me wisdom. How do you respond? There's an opportunity there, but I didn't get it. So pray for wisdom. James 1:5 says, if you lack wisdom, pray for it, and God gives generously without reproach. He'll give it to you. So walk with wisdom. Walk praying for wisdom as you're among outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. Now, this is very important. This means that there are certain windows in a person's life where they're open. There's an opportunity for the gospel. Most of the time, I would say the windows are closed with most people. With children, the windows are open more often. Children are naturally thinking about God and their place in this world. They have not been hardened yet by the lies of the enemy. People going through hard times, which is why COVID was such a huge opportunity for the gospel, and is still. People went through hard times, and that's something that we all shared together, that we can talk about. And we can say, how'd you do during COVID? Did you lose anyone? And now you're talking about death. And those themes lead to the gospel. So look for that opportunity. Look as you're praying, and people are going through hard times. I was playing pickleball with a lady, and we're taking down the net, and I asked her what she was doing in Watsonville. She said, well, I broke up with my boyfriend, and so I had to move here. I said, I'm sorry to hear that. She said, yeah, he was a liar and a cheat, and he broke my heart. How many people share that with you? How often? So she is like on the top of my prayer list. I'm going to get my wife, and we need to initiate more contact with her. But obviously, there's just a huge opportunity. Jesus said, blessed are those who mourn. Look at the people to whom Jesus ministered to, right? Demoniacs, people whose kids had died, or their servants were sick, people who were desperate. Those are the kinds of people you want to find for the gospel. That's why we have a homeless ministry at Fairhaven. I used to drive to Oakland to share the gospel with a sketchboard at Jack London Square to the tourists. And every time I would drive by the tents in Oakland, and I would think to myself, I bet these people are more open to the gospel than the tourists at Jack London Square. There's more opportunity there. Go where there's opportunity and make the most when you see opportunity. And now he talks about speech in verse 6. So when your walk is established with the Lord, then you can talk about Jesus, right? Then you have a reason. Then you should have something noticeable in you that will make people listen when you talk the gospel. And he says, let your speech be always with grace. Let your speech be always with grace as though seasoned with salt. Grace, undeserved favor. Somebody cuts you off in traffic. Have a good day. Right? God bless you. Undeserved favor. The speech in the world on the internet is just getting more and more toxic, and our political environment is getting more and more toxic. And when you respond to that toxicity with undeserved grace, people know it. When people complain about the boss, and you say, yeah, I'm just praying for his son. His son's kind of having a hard time. You respond with undeserved favor, people notice. I sure noticed in eighth grade, when Lisa Rini, I don't even know if this girl was a believer or not, but she responded with undeserved favor in the case of the stolen churro. And this was in my eighth grade Spanish class with Miss Cook. I loved Miss Cook. Miss Cook was like the only teacher that I knew in my public junior high that actually publicly proclaimed herself as a believer in Jesus Christ. So she won all my respect. She taught me Spanish. We had this big day. We're going to have churros, right? She's going to make us all churros, these Mexican donuts. Donuts is a theme with me, if you can notice. She said this little warning at the beginning of class. She said, now there's only enough dough for one churro for each person, so you can only have one churro. I'm like, okay, you know. And so we're going through the line, and I took a bite, and that was just like heaven on earth, a freshly fried churro. And I thought of her little warning, and I thought to myself, how does Miss Cook really know how much dough is there? And surely, if I take another, it's not going to be a problem. And so I took another, and I enjoyed that. And toward the end of the period, the moment of reckoning came, and Lisa Rini didn't have a churro. And Miss Cook said, I told you there was only one churro for each person. Someone has taken two churros. Who was it? And I knew that I just like had to confess, because I was just dead in the water. And like, if you lie, it just makes it worse. And I just said it was me. And as soon as I said it was me, Lisa Rini said, it's okay. And then there's the pause where Miss Cook is thinking, do I lay Dave out on the carpet for this? Or do I show mercy? And because Lisa showed mercy, Miss Cook let it go, and I was not the butt of jokes for the rest of the day. And I just said, thank you, Lord. Lisa Rini showed me grace with undeserved favor in her speech. You have an opportunity to do that every day. You have an opportunity to show grace in your speech. So make the most of it. as though seasoned with salt. Remember, you have salt with meat, okay? Your conduct is the meat, and your speech is the salt. Some people like a lot of salt on their steak. Some people like a little. Listen, notice, act with wisdom. Is this somebody that I need to spend a lot of, like, you know, they're really quiet. I need to speak more. I need to be quiet and let them speak more. Boxers work on one thing in each workout, okay? This is the other verse. I'm not even going to go there, but if you want to look at it, there's a verse in 1 Peter 3:15 that also talks about sanctifying Christ as Lord in your heart, knowing how to respond to each person, right? It's this idea that our conduct is such that that it requires somebody is going to ask us about it. And that's when we can give our response, our hope for the gospel that's within us. So think about in a workout, a boxer works on one thing. He works at a jab, or he works at taking a certain kind of punch or a certain kind of footwork. Think about one thing you can do as a result of this message. Maybe it's a prayer application. Maybe there's a prayer meeting that you should go to here at Fairhaven. Maybe God wants you to start a prayer meeting. There's one at the Walkers on Monday nights. I just heard this started up. So these are great things. Maybe God wants you, before you do a group prayer, to work on your own prayer closet and think about how much time you spend with Him in prayer. Maybe it's to pray for proclaimers, to come to the missions prayer meeting and pray for people who are sharing the gospel. Maybe there's an open door in your life and you need to go through it with the gospel. Maybe there's someone that's hurting and God's been talking to you about them. Pick one and go and do. Let's pray. Father, we just praise you for sending the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that we have good news to talk about. We thank you for your Holy Spirit who lives in us. We thank you, God, that you've given us lives that are different. And help us to live those. Help us to walk with you. Help us to walk with wisdom. Help us to pray. Help us to have our eyes on you. We love you. We pray for the time at the picnic right now. We ask your blessing on it, on our fellowship, and also on the opportunities. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.